I thought it might be worth meditating this morning on the first reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because it describes the apostolic life in a way that helps us see how we all share in that apostolic life. You know, it's amazing when you think. Take like the Franciscans. Huh? How many Franciscans have existed since St. Francis? I don't know. 200,000, 300,000, 500,000? I don't know. They all shared the grace that was given to St. Francis. And they're still around. And there's still some saints and martyrs among them. And it all grows from the gift, the charism, given to St. Francis. Or Dominic, or Benedict, or... Now move it back. The apostles are the ones who founded the whole church in the power of Christ. And we still live by that, and they still influence, like Francis prays, I'm sure, and looks after all those fellows who have been joined by Christ to his charism. The apostles, as we're going to say in the preface, huh, from their place in heaven, they guide us still. You've heard that, right? I say this and people say, well, I don't know whether I heard it or not. Through the apostles, you watch over us and protect us always. You made them shepherds of the flock to share in the work of your Son, and from their place in heaven, they guide us still. See, that's the vision of the body of Christ. So what we have in this text of Paul, remember, this is the Word of God. You see, this is the Word of God by one of these apostles. Now, our text starts because he's talking about the apostolic grace, but you see, there's a part, the line that goes just before the ones we're reading is quite significant for what we're talking about. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. But we hold this treasure, and he goes on. Huh? The treasure is this, that God has shown in our hearts. And that work is greater than creation. The Father who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has done something greater. He has given us the gift of faith so that we know Jesus Christ. That's a greater act than creation. And he did it through instruments. Now, you know what an instrument is? Well, I'll give you an example. Suppose I have a piece of chalk and a blackboard. I don't, but suppose I did. And so I write on the board. Oh, suppose I write that text on the board, you see? I do the writing, but the chalk is the instrument. And the instrument has to do its proper work for me to be able to write. If the chalk doesn't make any marks on the board, I mean, it's useless. God has chosen to use instruments. He doesn't need them. But he has chosen to use instruments. And the instrument must make its own proper effect. Its own proper effect. That's why St. John, for instance, never talks about evangelizing. He doesn't use the verb to evangelize once, ever. He talks about witnessing. Because an apostle, big apostle, little apostle, the proper effect is to witness to what they know. I can't preach here or anywhere else or anybody else and say, well, you know, I read all this stuff someplace and this is what it says. Thank you very much. I can read it too. See, the Word of God is only living and active when it is living and active in somebody. And then it can be communicated, and that we're the chalk. But we're an animated chalk with a free will, which is a very great thing, but it gets in the way. Because, well, I don't want to do that today. I don't want to die to self today. I'm tired of that. Well, somebody will be deprived. So the text goes on then. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessel, what's that? This poor old body. But body for Paul just doesn't mean this particular amount of flesh that sort of is here, and that's Francis there, that rounded. No, body means my whole presence to history and your presence to history. See, only human beings can have history. You have to have a body, and you have to have a consciousness. Rocks got the body, but they got no consciousness. Angels got the consciousness or spirituality, but they have no body. When God became incarnate, he came into history and has sanctified history. That's our body. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels. Do we ever? That the surpassing power of God may be of God and not from us. I'm the chalk. Anybody starts clapping for me, they're crazy. You see? We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained. And he goes through this list. You know, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. And then he sums it up. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. I used to work, you know, with the hippie kids. Worked with about 3,000 a year back when there were hippies around, you know. And one of the remarks they used to make a lot was, you know, they would just make this to people. You know, I can't hear what you're saying because who you are is talking too loud. It was kind of a wisecrack, but it had a lot of truth to it. You see? Our body, that means our whole way of living. The prime example of that apostolic gesture is martyrdom. But, you see, it's our whole way of life. Because when we're sick, when we're beat up, when we're that, sure. But it's everything. The way we walk, the way we talk, how much money we spend, the way of life, our style of life. You know, are we dying? Do we carry in our whole historical life the dying of Jesus? Do we treasure that? You see, it's that. And if we do, then the life of Jesus is manifested. Now, we've had some marvelous examples in our own lifetime. The one I always think about is Mother Teresa. You know, there she was. By the time she was really old and ready to die, she was a tiny little thing, all bent over, had to hang on to somebody's hand to walk, right? And people just wanted to be near her. Because from her body emanated Jesus. Not just her mind or her heart or her mouth. Her whole body, her whole way of life. You see what a wonderful thing this is? So death is at work in us, but life in you. That's the apostolic boast. Since then we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, and here comes why we dare speak. I believed, therefore I spoke. I didn't read this some ways, you know. I think, well, you just might find this interesting. I believed. Therefore, I spoke. St. Thomas says, you know, that whenever a preacher preaches, his message, you see, is delivered according to the credibility of the preacher. Sacraments work because Christ does them. Christ works in the preacher. But she must be credible. And he says, well, there's two ways to be credible. One, holiness of life. The other, signs and wonders. A friend of mine used to say the second is really easier than the first. But they both got to be there. They have to see Christ in us. Knowing. We believed knowing. Do we know? Or is this an opinion? That the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. That's the apostolic life. And you know, it's like tennis. We got the big pros who play tennis all the time. But everybody can play tennis. But if you play it, you have to play tennis. So even if we're not Paul or James or whoever, you know, we're still tennis players. We still got to play the game. And you can practice and get better. And you might discover you have a greater capacity for the sport than you realized. But the key, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Not being a big shot. Just what our Lord told the apostles today, right? The big shots in this world, they let their weight be felt, right? Yes, Mr. Jones will have your Cadillac here just a moment. You know, it's coming up from the valet parking. It'll be right here, sir. And some other little guy going by on his bicycle. Jesus is crazy about that other guy. He might like the rich guy too, but if he's making his weight felt, it is not to be that way among you. If you are serving, you serve by serving. Isn't that marvelous? So that's what he's saying. It's our whole life that's supposed to look like the dying of Jesus. Not a big shot, not retaliating, you know, not getting lots of money, not getting lots of fame, not getting, you see, the dying, and then the treasure of all the world. The life of Jesus is manifest in us. And the whole world profits.